Hey, man, that's good right there. Sorry, been in Alabama. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Good singing. Love that. Appreciate good singing. By the way, not every church has good singers. Not every church has good piano players. We are blessed here. When I tell people we got like 7 or 8 piano players, they're like, why are they all at your church? Share them. There are churches all over the world that don't have piano players, and it's bad. I watch a lot of Facebook, you know, people's services on Facebook, and some churches shouldn't put their music on Facebook. It's hurtful. I mean, we ought to glorify God, and I know it's a, but it's not even a joyful noise, you know, and it's bad. So be thankful for what you have. Now I've talked about everybody else. But 1 Peter chapter 4 tonight, 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to talk about the preacher's life, and I'll use myself as an example tonight. I've got all of your hate mail, all of your pipe bomb jobs sent me, all the emails that you've sent around, so I'm going to preach on myself tonight, and kind of selfish, all right? Just kidding. But anyway, in 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 7. Of course, Peter writing, if you go back to chapter 1, you'll see that he's writing to the churches of in Galatian area. But some of these churches that have been started, they are scattered out. As a matter of fact, in verse 1 of chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, he talks about the Christians who are scattered abroad. And the way that the scattering came about in the Bible was because of great persecution. Folks, we don't know nothing about persecution in this world. We think that, you know, what happened in 2020, 2021 was persecution, but it's nothing like they saw in the Bible times. I mean, if you got caught having a service, you'd be killed, you would be run out, you would be even beaten close to death. And so Peter's going to deal with, in this chapter, the life of a preacher, but also he's going to deal with sufferings in the end of this chapter, and you can look at that later. But I want you to begin in verse 7. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. The greatest thing you can do as a Christian today is pray. Pray for Israel. Amen. We ought to pray for Israel. I'm a pro-Israel person. Ask me why. Thank you for asking me. Because God is. And if God is, you want to be pro whatever God is. Amen. And if he's for Israel, we should be for Israel, so that settles it. Verse 8 says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. We need that in church today, don't we? We need to love one another, love in action. He says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. We need that in our churches today. We need love and we need hospitality. The most hospitable people in the world ought to be church members. Yeah. This ought to be the place you come, and when you leave here, your hand's like, ow. Your neck's hurting from all the hugs and all that, and that's what the church should be. But notice what he says in verse 10 and verse 11. It's kind of our text verse. He says, every man hath to receive the gift. And he's talking about in this portion of Scripture that in these days they had gifts, but we also have gifts that God's given us. We don't have the gifts of tongues, no more prophecy and those things, but God's given us all gifts. And matter of fact, I don't know so much if he says the gift in this one. It could be the gift of the gospel. We've all been given the gift of the gospel, and we've been given the gift of Jesus Christ. And notice what he's going to say here. He says, the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In verse 11, it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do as of the ability of which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day, God. Thank you for this night. Lord, thank you for that song that was sung. And Lord, we praise you for, God, that we can find rest in you. And so, Father, I pray that you touch our hearts through your word tonight. I pray that you bless this church. And I pray that, God, you would just show up mightily tonight and speak to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In, I believe it's the summer, I believe it was maybe the fall, winter, I don't know, sometime in 1997, I was sitting in a revival meeting, 97, right, when I was called, My wife has to correct my dates all the time. And I remember I was sitting in, Brother, one of our evangelists had come in, Brother Donnie Harvey was preaching a revival. And I had just gotten into the Independent Baptist Church, and I was just serving wherever I could. We were teaching a Sunday school class where we taught the 12-year-olds. Asked me how many 12-year-olds we had when we started. None. Our pastor said, you're going to teach the 12-year-olds. I was like, yes, where are they at? He's like, we ain't got none. You got to go find them. I was like, okay. Thank you, Pastor. And that's the kind of pastor he was. And I was doing, obviously, we were out on visitation, soul winning, all these things. And during that revival meeting, he preached on, you got to quit fishing and start following. Quit fishing and start following. Well, I love to fish. And I was like, I don't know if I need to quit fishing. But he's talking about Peter, when Peter quit, when he went back to fishing, and he said that he needed to follow him, right? And Peter was doing what he knew to do. His comfort zone was fishing. And in that revival meeting, God pricked my heart and showed me that he was calling me into the ministry. And I came to the altar that night, and I surrendered my life to do whatever God wanted to do in my life. Dangerous. Dangerous when you say, by the way, when you get a little older, when somebody calls you and says, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? What do we do when we get older? I don't know. What are you doing? Used to, I'd say, oh, nothing. And then about 10 minutes into the conversation, I'm moving somebody tomorrow, or I'm moving a heavy piano and a pulpit that's heavy. I ain't going to name no names, really, but, you know, I mean, you, when people call me now, they're like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm like, what are you doing tomorrow? Well, I was going to go out and eat. Well, I'm a free man tomorrow. You know, but when you come to God and you think about Peter's life, by the way, Peter's life to me gives me hope because Peter was imperfect. Peter failed God and Peter made mistakes along the way, and yet God still chose to use him. I can point to any preacher in this auditorium and I can show you imperfect people. I can point to anybody in the pew and I can say we're all imperfect people. But there's some of us, and we're no more special than you are, but we're just foolish than you are, more foolish than you are. You say, why? Because by the foolishness of preaching. You got God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. That's what a preacher is. And you're a fool for Jesus Christ. And can I say tonight, as we look at this scripture, and back in 1997 and 1996, me and my wife got married. 1997, I was called to preach. 1997, the fall of that year, I was in seminary at North Smile Baptist Institute. We were institutionalized back in those days. And I just started my journey. Y'all know my journey started with y'all. My journey started with Brother Crawford. I cannot get away from me. It's like a magnet every time I get by, you know? I'm just kidding. But my journey started in 1997 with the Days, the Reeds, Miss Linda, and a bunch of others, the Davises, and a lot of these people I've known for 26 years. I was so skinny. I literally looked like this. I was tan and had black hair. No bald spot. And my voice was the voice of the highest woman you've ever heard in your life. I kid you not. Ask anybody in here. I used to get so aggravated. I go through a drive-thru. I like to order, you know, number one. Well, yes, ma'am. Drive on around. And I would try to, like, deepen my voice in those days. You know, bro, getting even remember those. I would try to deepen my voice, and it was like, you know, it was still like a helium balloon. I'd sucked on a helium balloon. In those days, we started, and guess what? I was excited, but here's the thing that I want you to see, the life of a preacher. The life of a preacher is a life where it is governed by God, or either it's governed by me. And I want you to notice a few things tonight about the preacher's life. Number one, I want you to notice in verse 11, we see it. We must be examples of Christ. By the way, if you're going to be a preacher, and by the way, you're thinking this is just a preacher message. Trust me, it's going to be an all of us message because we're all supposed to be examples. Yeah. But basically, he's telling him here, he says in verse 11, he says, if any man speak. Now, I want you to notice how the King James Bible gets it right here, because look at what it says. Let him speak not the oracles of God, but let him speak as the oracles of God. See, God doesn't need somebody just to get up and open their mouth and just spill out things. God needs people to be examples of what they're preaching. See, we got a lot of preachers in this world today who say one thing with their mouth and live another way with their life. By the way, we got a lot of Christians in this world who say one thing with their mouth, and yet on Monday they're something totally different than they are on Sunday. And here Peter says, listen, here's what I want you to understand my life. My life is that I must be an example of Jesus Christ. Let him speak as the oracles of God. And 1 Timothy, you know this verse, 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let no man despise thy youth, another preacher, by the way, but be thou an example of believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and in purity. He said, listen, Timothy, people are going to take you serious if you are what you say you are. So many times today, it's like a dog. Well, we have an identity crisis in the world anyway, right? I mean, somebody that's a girl wants to be something other than that. Something, I mean, it's like a, let's just don't use human beings so I don't get in trouble. But it's like a cat walking around going, roof. I'm confused. Let's use me as an example. Whenever I was real young, I had a high-pitched voice. It was confusing to people. I sounded like a woman. If you don't believe it, I have old CDs. I'll let you listen to them. I was way up there. And then my voice got taken away, and I become a man. When I was a child, I spake as a child. Now I'm a man, finally. But here's what he's saying to us tonight, is that we must show forth Christ in our life. The preacher, no matter what, where he's at, no matter what he does, must show forth Christ. And I wish I could tell you where I go that I am the greatest example of a Christian. I'm not. I fail time and time and time again, but we must be an example of Christ. Look at number two. I want you to notice that we must be enabled by the Holy Spirit of God. He says in verse 11 again, he says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which who giveth? God giveth, not the seminary. Not the church, not the degree, not the knowledge they gain, but it is the ability, it's the enablement of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. And matter of fact, if you go back to verse 10, he talks about the manifold grace of God, the grace of God that enables us to do what we do. A preacher must be dependent upon the Holy Spirit and the grace of God in order to be what he should be, but also the Christian. It's the same way. You have to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit and upon the Word of God and upon the grace of God. We are enabled by the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to listen to what this 1 Timothy 1, verses 11 and 12 say. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he that counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Listen, there are two type people that are standing behind pulpits. Well, there's more than that. We're going to only care about two. There are those who are called and those who are not. And I'm not saying an uncalled person can't preach. I'm not saying that an uncalled person can't. But I am saying that God puts a calling on a person's life. And it's different than anything else in this world. I've heard somebody say this, and you've heard this too, that it would be a step down for me to be a president of the United States. The bar's been set pretty low, but... yeah. Wait, let me read my teleprompter real quick. Comma, comma. Right? I mean, really, it would be a step down. It would be a step down for me to be the CEO of Walmart. It would be a step down for me to step down from being a preacher to be anything else. Why? Because God's called me to do that. God's put a calling on my life. And by the way, the Bible tells us that the calling of God is without repentance. In other words, there's no take backs. Once you say yes to God, there's no take backs. Like, and trust me, I've tried. I've tried to work a regular job. You know why? Because of security. I like jobs I didn't have to deal with people. I worked on an ambulance. I worked 96 hours a week just to make ends meet. And I thought, I'm going to do this because I'm in an ambulance. I don't have to deal with people. I'm a real smart person. There's people everywhere. And by the way, most of the really dumb ones are in the back of an ambulance. If you're in the medical field, you know what I'm talking about. And then if the other ones are the other medics you got to deal with. It's just, here's the thing, and I'm getting to a point, so stay with me. after this message. But the enablement of the Holy Spirit is that, in other words, we are not enabled by ourselves to preach God's word. It has to come from a higher power. Why? Because this is a holy word. Your Bible probably says it on the side. Holy Bible. Unholy Wiggins. So how in the world is unholy Wiggins going to preach a holy word? He's got to be enabled by the Holy Spirit of God and by the grace of God in order to do that. Listen, I'm telling you, we heard a man one time, I'll never forget this man, he was a missionary, and he got up in the pulpit, and bless his heart, he read through the scripture, and I was like, wow, that was rough. He said, I just want to tell y'all, I didn't finish the fourth grade. He says, I learned to read by reading my Bible. And I'm going to tell you what, that preacher started preaching, and my heart just, poof. One of the best, I'm telling you, this happened back in 96 or 97, and I remember that preacher. Why? Because it was heartfelt, and that man was called to do what he was doing. It wasn't some school that made him a preacher. It wasn't some church that made him a preacher. It wasn't some whatever to make him a preacher. It was the Holy Spirit of God and the grace of God that enabled him to do what he was able to do. I'm going to tell you, only preachers in here would understand this. I am an introvert by nature. If you put me on an island by myself, happy am I. I've been that way all my life. I was basically the only child. My brother was 7 years older than I was, so basically growing up, it was just me and my mom, and my mom worked a couple jobs to support me, and it was me by the house by myself, and I'm a great entertainer of myself. And that's how I got in a lot of trouble during my life, too. But we won't talk about all the things that I burned up and blew up and all those things. But I want to tell you, I never thought when God called me, I never forget, I told my wife, I felt like Moses. When God came to Moses, and Moses said, Lord, I can't speak very well. And God said, okay, I'll give you Aaron for that. You know what, not one time in the Bible do you see Aaron speak for Moses? Ain't that amazing? You know what Aaron was there for, though? To hold up his arm. That was it. He wasn't there to speak for Moses. Why? Because God enabled Moses to do what he called him to do. Listen, when God calls a person, you know, when I'm using me as an example, and I know this sounds like pride, I'm going to preach on pride next Wednesday night, but when God called me, I was like, Lord, do you know the learning disabilities I have? And most of you wouldn't know it growing up, but I see things backwards better than I see them forward. I've always been at dyslexia. And all those, I didn't even know it was a thing back in the day. I just thought I was left-handed. That's what they blamed it on. Oh, you're left-handed. So you're backwards anyway. Okay. I just walk everywhere backwards, I guess. And man, I never learned it. And of course, I didn't apply myself. And I just felt like God needed somebody more educated. I did. It's like, Lord, you need somebody a lot more abilities than I do. And I wasn't being prideful and saying now. I was really, truly, I was heartbroken that Lord, I can't do this. And God said, I know. But listen, here's what God doesn't do. Michael Wiggins, I'm calling you into the ministry. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, you have some problems. Okay, I'm sorry, I picked the wrong one. That's not how God works. God looks at us and he says, Michael Wiggins, you got some problems. I already knew that. I made you. Michael Williams, I realize you didn't have the greatest home life coming up, but I'm going to enable you. Amen. And God did some things in my life, and I'm still amazed every time he blesses. When I stand up in the pulpit and God blesses, it's all him. It's all for him. And the last thing I want you to notice in verse 11 again, we must exalt our Heavenly Father. As a preacher, I want to exalt my Heavenly Father. Notice what he says in the end of that. He says, in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And in our life, here's the thing. As a preacher, all I want to do is glorify God. I want to glorify God as a father. I want to glorify God as a husband. I want to glorify God as a preacher, as a Christian. That's all I want to do. What does Matthew 5:16 tell us? It says, let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what God wants to do with all of you. God wants to use all of you. Listen, you may not be able to stand up here in this pulpit and preach. You may not be able to sing in the choir. You may not be able to teach a Sunday school class. You may not be able to keep the nursery. But I'm going to tell you what, God's willing to use your life if you'll just put it in His hand. He will enable you to do things you don't even know you can do. You may be doubting God. Listen, we serve a big God. Why in the world couldn't He take your tongue and loosen it up? Some of y'all, He needs to tighten it up, but some of us, He needs to unloosen it. I should have got more amens there, but anyway, back to the message. But can I say, when a child of God answers the call of God on their life, that child of God is saying yes to whatever, whenever, and wherever. Listen to me tonight. The life of a preacher is this: whatever. Lord, what do you want me to do? You realize I've done everything in the ministry except for be a missionary. I've been a janitor, been a song leader, choir director, pastor, associate pastor. What else is there? I feel like I'm a secretary. I was a youth pastor, a secretary. Hey, man, evangelist. Yes, thank you, whoever said that, evangelist. But the only thing I haven't been is a missionary. And you know what I was saying? Whatever. And the Lord said, all right, I'm sending you to Alabama. I didn't even have to preach with an interpreter Sunday. It was great. Listen to me tonight. When you say yes to God, and there's a bunch of preachers in this auditorium, by the way, but there's a bunch of Christians in this auditorium that need to say yes to God. If God's calling you to do something, it could be whatever. And listen, when I surrender to God, I love these preachers. I love these guys when they, Pastor, you've been around this too. You know, these guys come down, they're like, I surrendered my life to be a missionary. Be careful. You better just say, Lord, I'm surrendering my life to whatever. Now, God may be giving you a vision for the mission field. I'm not saying that He's not, but I'm just saying that I can tell you along the way, a long time ago, I wanted to be a firefighter. Be careful what you wish for, right? I am one, but you know what? When I surrendered my life, I remember that night. I told my wife, I said, my pastor came down and he was talking to me. He said, you know what, Lord, do your heart. He said, I knew God was calling you a long time ago. He says, every time you get up to sing, you preach a message. He said, I wanted to tell you several times to sit down and hush. But I knew that was God working in your heart. And He'll tell you this to this day. He's 80 years old. And He'll tell you. And when he came down the altar, he said, God called you to preach. And I was like, yes, sir, He did. He called me to preach. Y'all know what He called me to preach. He's like, shut up. You know, get over it, big boy. And I never will forget that night. My pastor knew it long before I knew it. But God called me, and here's what I said. Lord, whatever. Whatever, I'll do it. And be careful when you say that. But also, whenever. Brother Lee Davis is about to start a church here north of us, New Life Baptist Church. We're excited. We're excited about that. And we'll be beginning in December, basically. That's exciting. But you know what? Sometimes missionaries have to wait 3 years before they get to the field. Sometimes church planters have to wait months and years before they, you know why? Because it's what, whenever, God. I had to go through 4 years of college before I did something else, whenever, right? Or wherever. In our life, we must say, Lord, whenever. When is your timing? By the way, if it's not God's timing, it's our timing. But then the last one is the wherever. Let me give you my life. Ready? Second sheet. I may have got this wrong, so check with my wife here in a little bit. I just did these up. My life, here it is. Ready? 1997 to 2001, 2000-ish, I was the associate pastor of Lakeland Street Baptist Church, Fort Worth, Texas, underneath the pastorage of Eric Crawford and Tanya Crawford and Linda Smith. 2001, I was the associate pastor of Bellengrave Road Baptist Church in Mobile, Alabama. I lived in Bailabatry, Alabama. 2001 to 2006, I pastored the New Life Baptist Church in Equality, Alabama. We were equally people there. 2006 to 2007, I was an evangelist and a youth pastor at the same time. You say, how do you do that? Ask me later. At the Maranatha Baptist Church in Columbus, Georgia. Go Georgia. That was for Miss Lee. From 2007 to 2010, I was the pastor of Victory Baptist Church in Burnett, Texas. From 2010, 2011, my wife's over there going, he's getting it all wrong. I figured I would. But I've been here. That's a lot of moving. I know. Yeah, I went to Lakeland. Well, we helped start Heritage. We were there. I was the first piano player, not bragging, but I was, for about 2 weeks. And then they finally got a real one. But we were here helping start this. And then I went to Alabama from there. And I just be honest with you, I'm tired of moving. Since I've been here, I've moved 4 or 5 times, too. Every time the rent comes up, we have to move. I don't know why. They hadn't caught us yet. I prayed and asked God to give us a fifth wheel just so we quit moving into houses and moving out of houses. I've lived with Pastor now for a long time. I've lived with other people. It's like, Lord, I'm tired. Lord said, oh, you are? What did you say, Michael? You said you're tired? Yes, Lord, I don't want to move again. I just bought my dream home in Boyd, Texas. Amen. Go Cowboy. Not the Cowboys, but Cowboy, real Cowboys. Not the ones that wear the helmet. And God allows me to work at Heritage Baptist Church. I go to my office. I sit in my chair. Tyler comes in there and we talk. We devise a plan for the day. We go out there, stretch a little bit, go eat. No, we work hard here, we do. Our staff works really hard. I like it. You know why? Because some of you that call me that are angry, I give you pastor's number. I love that. Oh, you got the wrong pastor. Mine starts with associate. You need the pastor. I don't know, eldest pastor, I don't know, the senior pastor. Right? He's one office down. You messed it. Oh, they sent me that email. They meant to send that to Pastor. I'll forward that to him immediately. Even this week, Pastor Hatton, I called you this week. I was like, you need to call this person here. They called me by accident, I think. And I did. I called him. He was driving back from Ohio. I was like, love you, Pastor. I hung up and I kept fishing. I was fishing and somebody called me. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. You called their own number? Man, that's fun. And God said, oh, man, is that chair you? By the way, the chair I have in my office is a Lazy Boy. It literally is a Lazy Boy. It's Pastor's old chair, but, man, I could sit in there. But you know what? God said, you know what? Let me ruffle your feathers a little bit because I need you to go somewhere. 554 churches in Alabama without pastors right now. Yeah. And I'm sitting in my office with my legs propped up, reading a book. And God says, Michael, okay, it's time. I've got everything else in place. I need you to go to Alabama. I was like, sorry, mailbox full. You've reached the wrong number. And I said, Lord, I don't want to do it. My wife said, we have children that are about to get married. I said, oh, we do? That's news to me. I've been wondering, come on, are y'all going to get married or not? We need grandkids. Getting balder by the day. Come on. And the Lord said, no, I need you to go somewhere. There's a little church that almost didn't survive the pandemic. Pastors got some health problems, 78 years old. By the way, the average age of a pastor in the United States is 60 years old. That's the average age of a pastor. And the Lord said this. I know this don't matter to y'all, but he says, you know what, too? You're going to make 64% less than what you make at Heritage. I did the calculation while I was standing up here, just so you know. So why would you leave your kids? Why would you take an extreme pay cut? Why would you leave your dream house? Why would you leave your family, your church family? I love all y'all, but I love my Sunday school class the most because they put up with me more. Why would you leave your Sunday school class? Why would you leave the fire department, whom you've got great relationship with those guys as their chaplain? Why would you leave the Metroplex? Why would you do all these things? And I just go, some of you ask me then. I go, one word, God. Since I've been here, and I've not pursued any church, pastor can attest to this, my wife can attest to this, since I've been here almost 12 years, not one time have I ever pursued a church. But there have been several times people have called me. There's three really big churches, kind of big churches to me, that have called me. One really big. And I was like, how much y'all paying? One of them even tried to throw a boat in there. I feel the Lord on this one. I've had other ministries call, and every time, and Pastor will tell you, two of them, I went there and preached, and nope. Two of those, nope. All the other calls, I was just like, no. And I was preaching a revival over here in Grand Prairie a few months ago. And the whole series I preached was a series to Michael Wiggins at a revival meeting at another church. And on a Monday night, I preached. I can't stand my preaching no more. I couldn't stand it before, but I really can't now. And I preached on just being a servant and just being willing to do whatever. I was like, y'all need to do whatever. You need to do whatever. Y'all need to be. And then all of a sudden, it was like, hello, I'm talking to you. I'm like, me? Lord said, yeah. So that night, I came down off the pulpit. I'll never forget. I went down there. I was like, all right, Lord, what are you doing? Because our nest was starting to get stirred a little bit. Some things were happening. And I was like, Lord, what are you doing? I said, all right, what are you going to do? If I only knew. I'm telling you with my hand raised. 6:30 on Tuesday morning, my phone goes off. Bing! I'm like, who is texting me at 6:30? Hey, Brother Wiggins, I've been praying for several weeks for this church in Alabama. We've been helping out. They're in dire need of a pastor, and Lord laid you on my heart. Would you consider? And I started going, oh, no. I'm going to Alabama. That's exactly what I said. No doubt in my mind, that moment, I was like, this is it. No, I don't want to be it. So I told Donnie, I said, that's a little church. I can't afford to pay us very much, so we probably won't go. Lord starts just dealing with our heart. And all of a sudden, I started thinking of all the people all over this world who don't have pastors. Churches are shutting down. By the way, if we don't have churches, we don't have missionaries. We don't have church plants. Because that's where the support comes from. And I'm not saying God's calling everybody to go pastor small churches and things like it, but I'm telling you, there's an epidemic since the pandemic. I knew I fit that in there. Of churches that didn't make it through the pandemic. They're half of what they used to be. They're a quarter of what they used to be, and the pastors left. And I will tell you what, this church has been a breeding ground for preachers, and we ought to be thankful for that. There is no other church in this area who tonight, if I start counting how many preachers we have in this, there's three right there, four, five, six, seven. There's seven, I may have missed somebody. There's seven preachers in this room. Well, count Brother Koss, Brother Renz, that's nine. Eight preachers in this auditorium tonight. You know why? Because God's got them here to raise them up, and some of them he's let retire here to invest in others. And we're thankful for the Brother Coxes and the Brother Renzes and the Brother Zellners that have invested, and the Brother A.V. Hendersons. He spoke to me. That's all I needed. I'm telling you, God's a good God. And I know it hurts losing me because I'm such a special person. Amen. Special needs person. I have special needs. But I'm kidding, obviously. But I want to tell you, I appreciate this church from the bottom of my heart. And I told Donnie, I was like, you know, I'm tired of moving. I really am. I'm tired of moving. I'm about to be 47 years old. I know that's young, but I'm at the end of my ministry. I may have 20, 25 years left to give to the Lord. What am I going to do with it? Listen, I can give it here, and God can bless that, but that's not what He wants from me. And if that's not what He wants from me, I don't want to be here. You know why? Because I'm going to be miserable, and you're going to be miserable if I'm not right where I want to be. My mom told me this when I left. By the way, I left my mom in 1997. My mom told me this. She said, Michael, let's even get it out. I'd rather you be in the will of God away from me than to be out of the will of God near me. Boy, that was a spiritual mom. Mm-hmm. Left her mother-in-law, father-in-law, left my dad. All of our family lives in that area. Now God's moving us back. We'll be an hour and a half away from our family. And I don't know why He's doing this. I wished I did know. And by the way, they haven't officially voted. They've voted, and it's 100%, but we got to do the... They may go crazy, or may wake up. The Lord may pull their scales away from around. But it looks like we're going to Alabama maybe in December as soon as our house sells. And I'll be honest with you, in the flesh, I don't want to go. I like it here. I love you guys. Some of y'all. I like most of y'all. I don't want to lie. I love all of you, but I like most of you. But I want to tell you this. And I hope you don't think this has been the Michael Wiggins sermon, because I want to tell you this. God can use everybody. If you're scared to step out and say, I'll be a Sunday school teacher, preacher. We need new Sunday school teachers. You say, well, we don't have a class. Start one. We need this. We need that. Listen, how about all of us just come and say, Lord, if you can use Michael Wiggins, then God, I know you can use me. You know why? Because I look at Peter, and I remember the day Peter said, I don't know him. I don't know the Lord. And then in Acts chapter 2, you see Peter standing up, preaching, and 5,000 get saved. I'm going to tell you what, that's God's grace. That's God's enablement. That's God doing a work in a person. And listen, He'll do the same for you. Maybe He's not calling you to be the pastor, and maybe He's not calling you to be an evangelist. Maybe He's not calling you to be a church planner or whatever it may be. But God's calling everybody to use that gift that they have for His glory. And that's all He wants from us. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to Your will and to Your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust You and obey. That's all He wants. Whatever, whenever, wherever. Let's stand tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love You. Lord, Your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than ours. Lord, we don't know what eternity holds far as the souls that will be won. And Lord, Lord, You lead us in places for a specific purpose. Lord, help us just to trust You. Lord, maybe there's somebody here tonight that just needs to say yes, Lord, to Your will and to Your way. They will trust You and obey. And Lord, whatever that may be, and Lord, it may just be to be an usher, to work in our security team or to work our tech team or whatever it may be. God, they may think, I can't do it. And Lord, they're right. But Lord, through Your enablement, they can. And that through their life, they will bring glory to You. So Father, touch Your people tonight. I pray it in Christ's name. Amen.